All right, the case before the court this afternoon is Hillrom Services v. Mittal, case number 162199, an appeal from the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Mr. Deschaux, you want 5 minutes for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, you can proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, as probably did not escape Your Honor's notice, I wasn't on the briefing, or most of it. I joined in late because the lead counsel on this case, Garrett Leach, had a trial, which actually started today. With that, though, I'll begin with claims 1, 14, and 15. The issue with 1, 14, and 50 turns on the claim limitation periodically verifies function. Those three terms. And the issue, to boil it down a bit further, boils down to what does periodic mean?
Is it your position, as I understand it, that it has to be a regular interval?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes. And so the question is, the PTAB concluded that periodic can mean either regular or intermittent. It is Hillrom's position that given the intrinsic record, periodic means regular because intermittent was, in the principal argument, intermittent was disclaimed. And so I don't think that there's any issue that even if we talk about the broadest reasonable interpretation standard, the claims reasonable must mean reasonable within the context of the intrinsic record, including the prosecution history.
Now, I'm having a hard time understanding. Intermittent versus, periodic can be after intervals of time, but it doesn't necessarily have to be regular intervals of time to be periodic, does it?
Understood, Your Honor. There are two issues when we're talking about this signal. It's like, when and how. But if we focus on periodic, so when is this signal being sent out? And we look at the prosecution history. So there's no issue that if we take the dictionary definition and a plain and ordinary meaning in the abstract, it covers both. No issue. Now the question is, did Hillrom disclaim the full scope of that claim term? And if we look at the prosecution history, and in particular the appendix at 2863 and 64, there's no issue but that Hillrom disclaimed the full scope of what periodic can mean. And so accepting that the full scope means regular or intermittent, we read that prosecution history, Hillrom could not have been clearer but that periodic simply does not mean intermittent and must mean regular.
Is it really that it doesn't mean intermittent, or is it really that it doesn't mean the kind of check that you believe is in Coomer? In other words, I think your juxtaposition between regular and irregular is not really the juxtaposition that you mean, and that's what I'm trying to understand. You're trying to say that it can't be just every once in a while when we decide we're going to check it, that we check it, but that doesn't mean that you couldn't have a module that checks on less than a regular time interval.
No, fair enough, and that's exactly what Coomer had. Coomer basically had modules, if you will, that checked it on an ad hoc or an intermittent basis, checked for functionality on an ad hoc intermittent basis. And what we took, the position we took in the prosecution history is what Coomer discloses is simply not periodic because Coomer discloses intermittent checks. And what we do is regular. And that's just clear. Coomer, and I quote from the prosecution history. We take a step back and you say, look, if we were representing Hillrom in litigation and we tried to assert, look, your periodic verification happens intermittently, and therefore you infringe. And the question to your honors is, would we get away with an argument like that, given the express disclaimer in the prosecution history, where we say Coomer does not explicitly disclose that any self-diagnosis is done on any periodic schedule. And we boldface periodic Just to be absolutely clear about that, in the system of Coomer, presumably, a module could fail and not be detected until such time as another module attempts to interact with the module. And then we go on and we say, Coomer's broad description of a self-diagnostic capability does not teach the explicit recitation of a control system that periodically verifies the functionality of each model present.
I guess what I'm still pressing at is that the parties keep focusing just on the time frames of the checks. And you said there's a when and there's a how. And it's the how of Coomer that has me more stumped than the when. In other words, Coomer does it because someone or something triggers it, as opposed to it occurring automatically, regardless of what the intervals are.
Certainly one iteration in Coomer does where you have the laptop that's attached to the system.
But even with the module has to somehow make the decision to break in and do a diagnostic test.
That's correct. And the only thing the modules, what's disclosed is that they can't. And there's absolutely no record evidence in Coomer of those modules doing it on a regular basis. So it seems to me that if we take a look at this thing, I mean, the issue really is what the PTAB concluded is that periodically can mean either intermittent or regular. And you look at the prosecution history, and we say no. And Your Honors, if disclaimer of full claim scope means anything, it seems to me this is it. We say Coomer simply does not disclose.
Was that statement you cited to at 2863, is that from the original prosecution or is that from the re-exam itself?
It's from the re-exam because the claims were amended in the re-exam. And so the claims were amended to add the periodic limitation. And so it was in the context of that amendment process that the back and forth with the examiner took place, Your Honor.
What about Claim 14? Now, Claim 14 has the word regular in it. It makes clear that periodic in that context means regular. Why isn't there some sort of claim differentiation argument that it's not until Claim 14 that periodically means regular intervals?
Your Honor, the answer there is that yes, there is the concept of claim differentiation. And there is the concept that if you have two different words used, you're not going to ascribe to them the same meaning. We understand that. But that concept does not trump a clear disclaimer of scope. And so we take a step back, and that's the, we know there's a Bancorp decision that we cite, 359-1367, and I quote the court, that inference, however, the inference to which Your Honor just pointed out, is not conclusive. It is not unknown for different words to be used to express similar concepts. And so it isn't. Let me take a step back, Your Honors. From a specification standpoint, I'm not going to go into the spec and how the spec supports limiting periodic to just one, other than to leave it with the briefing and to note that there is nothing in the specification that is inconsistent with the clear, express disclaimer that we have in the prosecution history. I mean, I sound like a broken record here, but in that prosecution history, we say, look, periodic is not, as far as we're concerned and for purposes of our patent, intermittent. And for the PTO or the PTAB then to come back and conclude, well, yes, it does. I think it throws the whole disclaimer concept to the wind. Let me shift gears, if I may, Your Honors, to claims 31 and 32. As with claims 1, 14, and 15, the issue turns in large part on claim construction, which, as Your Honors obviously know, is de novo.
With 31, but it didn't occur at all below. I mean, it's different. I mean, we can say it's de novo, but master module wasn't really construed below, right?
That's correct. It wasn't.
So de novo usually doesn't mean in the first instance.
Well, fair enough, in which case we'd have to remand it for a bit more clarification on what it means. What we do know is that...
Did you ask for construction below?
Well, what we certainly said is that what module is yes, we did. We did state to the PTAB that module means a physical structure that, as recited in Claim 2, requires a, and I want to say microprocessor, but that's wrong. It's a microcontroller. You have a transceiver. It needs to be able to monitor communication. I mean, there's just no doubt that if you read Claim 2, and by extension 31 and 32, which depend off of Claim 2, they recite what a module, what we're talking about a module, we are talking about a physical structure. Point number one. The module that the PTAB relied on, Your Honors, to find 31 and 32 obvious is the protocol called SDO. And they basically concluded that the service data object is a module. I mean, SDO is a protocol. And that's clear from the prior art references. I think it's just, I find it, I don't think anyone really disputes that. And I see that my time, I'm cutting it.
Can I just ask you on that last point? If it has the same functionality as a hardware module in software, why can't it be equivalent?
Okay. Two answers. We don't concede that it has the same functionality, and there's no finding below, Your Honor, that it has the same functionality. No finding.
Let's just assume it does.
I'm sorry?
Just assume for purposes of my question it does, because it seems to me you're keying your distinction on the fact that module, in your view, is some kind of hardware, a microprocessor or the like. What if the protocol has the same functionality, but it's just not hardware? Yeah.
If we assumed that there is record evidence that the SDO has the precise same functionality as the master module in 31 and 32, if we assume that, and there's record evidence of that, I think it's a different story, Your Honor. But
do you think it's a different story, even if it doesn't have a control? It doesn't have a microcontroller and a transceiver. You don't think that?
Oh no, no, no. That's precisely my point. We are going to assume that it has the same functionality, and we don't think it does. We don't think it can't, precisely for those reasons.
Presuming, I misunderstood your answer. That so you're saying, even assuming for a minute that it has the same functionality, there's still an important difference.
Well, what I'm saying is, if we assume that they have the same functionality, I don't agree that they have the same functionality precisely for the reasons that Your Honor stated, because they can't by virtue of being the physical differences. An SDO doesn't have the micro, the microcontroller. It doesn't have the capability to pick up and send messages. It's just a completely different animal. But if we assume that they're in fact identical, then okay, like I said, it's a different story. But there's no record evidence of that. There's no record evidence. This entire finding on 3132 rests with the inaccurate proposition that an SDO is a module. Look at our own patent. It doesn't say that, the 263. And if you look at the references, they expressly state the contrary.
All right, you're losing most of the rebuttal time.
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
We'll give you 4 minutes for a rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the Court. Taking Hillrom's second argument first about claims 31 and 32 and whether or not we have a module, this argument is really much to do about nothing. We are talking about hardware. We are not confusing software with hardware. The board used the shorthand SDO, but what the board meant to say clearly was an SDO module or a module that administers SDO at the board's decision.
That is a key distinction, right? A module that administers SDO. So even if your reference talks about what SDO is, I don't see that Zeltweiger discloses something that administers the SDO.
Zeltweiger discloses the CAN open protocol. There is no dispute about that. A CAN open protocol is based on an international standard. That international standard requires a physical layer, a data link layer, which discloses the CAN, and then additional application layers. That physical layer consists of hardware, of modules. These are plug-and-play modules. You can use them from different manufacturers. That's the whole point of this invention.
But where is that in reference?
That part of the rejection is based on Claim 2. Claim 2 was rejected based on the combination of Kummer and CAN references. CAN teaches the CAN open protocol. Zeltwanger teaches.
The finding with respect to those claims were based solely on Zeltwanger.
That's not true, Your Honor. At APPX 19, the board said that it is the combination of Kummer and Zeltwanger, which the board relies on, in order to provide a CAN open SDO module that administers SDO.
So, what number?
APPX 19. The second full paragraph. And in the middle of that paragraph, it says, with respect to the SDO to operating on a module, the examiner found it would have been obvious to one having ordinary skill in the art to make the diagnostic tool of Kummer an SDO module as taught in Zeltwanger. So that is the combination that the board is relying on. It is making the diagnostic tool of Kummer into an SDO module as taught by Zeltwanger, which teaches the CAN open protocol, which administers SDOs using a master module.
So why did you argue in your briefing that you didn't need any kind of physical structure?
We didn't mean to say that, Your Honor. The board might have used the shorthand.
You didn't mean to say that?
We didn't, and it's pretty clear that that's not what we said. We used the shorthand SDO to mean an SDO module, and the board did go on to say that the definition of a module does not exclude an SDO, but all you have to do is substitute, put in the word module after SDO, and it makes complete sense.
But I mean,
it's consistent with what the board
has been
saying.
The whole briefing on this point was set up as a dispute over whether you needed physical structure.
That is how, yes, that is how Hillrom
right, and
is
you,
arguing their
case. Your response
was,
you don't need physical structure.
Our response was that, simply, that the definition of module does not exclude a module that administers SDO, an SDO module. That was the distinction that we were making.
So you're saying SDO and the module administering SDO can be one and the same thing?
A module that administers an SDO is a module, and that module can function as a master. And that's exactly what the board is saying at A19.
What about the point that the module needs to have a microcontroller and a transceiver, as modules are defined earlier in Claim 2, which the claims depend upon?
And we don't disagree with that. We have modules that have transceivers and microcontrollers. There's no dispute that Kummer discloses modules that have those.
So your view is that this SDO module that would be encompassed in the combination would naturally have a microcontroller and a transceiver?
Yes.
So you're saying that you concede that your anticipation, that the board's anticipation finding as it relates to Zeltwanger, would not be able to stand. But you argue that it's obviousness combining Kummer with Zeltwanger?
No, Your Honor, there isn't an anticipation rejection of Claim 31. There's only an obviousness rejection of Claim 31 over the combination of Kummer and Zeltwanger.
Now, is this the entirety of the analysis of the obviousness regarding a motivation to combine the two? It's like one sentence.
The board relies on what the examiner found at A2992. And, you know, it might seem like it's a short analysis, but we have to also keep in mind that there are multiple overlapping rejections based on multiple references that taught the same exact thing, and they don't dispute that. The board is just using one as an example here. And it's at A2992, where the examiner in its RAN provides a more fulsome explanation as to the reason to combine Zeltwanger and Kummer. And what the examiner explains at APBX...
I don't see a more fulsome, I'm not sure that that's the right word, but I don't see a more developed argument. It's still just, I mean, it may be two sentences, but there's no actual, they don't say why it would have been obvious. It just says it would have been. It's very...
Your Honor, it goes on to cite column 8 of Kummer. Column 8 of Kummer discloses that Kummer is a diagnostic tool and that that tool is functioning as a master because it accesses and controls all the other modules on the network. So that tool is functioning as a master of Kummer.
But does it really function to control all the other modules versus just have the ability to tap in to a particular module to do a particularly defined test?
It's doing a diagnostic test, and that's what's making it function as the control module or as the master module. It is testing and diagnosing, which is exactly what Zeltwanger teaches about testing and diagnosis using the SDO protocol. And what's even more clear here is that their own specification explains that SDO modules are used in testing and diagnosis. So what the board is saying is completely consistent with what the prior art teaches, and which is completely consistent with what the specification teaches.
All right, why don't you turn to the other claims?
With regards to periodically, claims 1, 4, and 15, it's really hard to understand what it is exactly Hilram's argument is. The board is simply saying that periodic, as Judge O'Malley recognized, means from time to time, continuous, recurring. And that is what the board found, that the ordinary meaning of the word periodic...
Well, that's part of the problem, is that I see the distinction between this patent claim and Kummer, not so much as whether the checking occurs on regular intervals, but whether it does repeat, whether it is something that is periodic in the sense that it keeps coming back and it keeps occurring, versus Kummer, which has a system where the check only occurs if a third party decides to make the check or if a module is set up to decide at some point in time to make a check. So in other words, it's more like the difference between whether something keeps recurring, regardless of the time intervals, or whether something only happens when there's an affirmative choice to make it happen. It's not as much the claim construction that I'm concerned about, it's with the application of that claim construction to Kummer.
Kummer discloses that each module performs a diagnostic self-check. It checks itself at the end
it
of
can.
Every...
It can.
At the end of
when
every...
When it's triggered to do so. It has to be triggered to do so. It doesn't say it happens every time.
It says it happens after every time.
No, it doesn't say that. You should tell me where it says that.
Okay, column 20.
It's able to perform internal diagnostics. After a module performs its function, a check can be performed. It doesn't say that it regularly does it. It doesn't say that it always does it. It says that it's possible. And then if you look at the mechanisms for the possibility, you've got claims 43 and 44 that describe those mechanisms. One is a third party does it through a computer. The other is that you've got a module that has a data link to permit the diagnostic test.
I think those claims that you're referring to are referring back to column 8 of Kummer, which is disclosing the diagnostic tool. There are two aspects of Kummer that the board is relying on. The diagnostic tool, which is disclosed in column 8, relates to this control module or master module disclosure. Column 20 says that it is doing a self-check after it's being used or it does the function that it's supposed to do.
But it doesn't say it's doing it every time? It doesn't say it's doing it regularly?
What's your best site for where it's doing it, where you respond and say that it is doing it periodically or regularly?
that column 20 at lines 28 through 36, and also column 2 at lines 25 to 28, it says the peer-to-peer communication network of the present invention includes embedded self-diagnostic capability. It checks itself. The way this functions is that you have individual modules performing different functions and they all communicate with one another. And it is not that it performs its function once and then doesn't do it again. These functions are being utilized continuously, regularly, depending on what the patient is doing.
Where does it say that, though?
It's a hospital bed, just exactly the same thing, you know, the same invention as the claimed invention. You've got a patient sitting on a hospital bed using different functions. Each function is controlled by a different module. It only makes sense that it's happening recurringly or in a cyclical manner.
Right, but where does it say it?
I think the fact that it is doing a self-check, this disclosure on column 2, internally diagnosing hardware and software failures, it has to be doing that. It does not make sense for it to only be doing it once. It only makes sense for the system, which is all interconnected, to constantly check and to perform checks and to understand what the other modules are doing so that it can and be responsive to those. So I would say column 2, column 20, and then also
if we interpret periodic, which it seems like your friend wants us to do, as at regularly occurring intervals, or it seems to me they're arguing that they're almost predetermined intervals. Does Coomer show that?
I believe it does, Your Honor. I think if it is doing this check every time it completes one of its routine functions, every time the patient gets out of the bed, it does a check. Every time the patient, you know, uses a sidebar, it does a check. To me, that's regular.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is whether I really understand, and I'll ask your friend on rebuttal, whether they're talking about periodic in the sense of a time frame, or what you're talking about, which is whenever somebody gets out of a bed or whenever somebody uses that function or the like. Both of them seem to be periodic. But the latter seems to, just to make sure I'm clear, getting out of bed or something like that also seems to be intermittent in the sense that it's not a regularly occurring thing.
Meaning it's not necessarily at regular time intervals.
I'm not sure that Coomer shows regular time intervals.
I don't think
itself.
It needs to in order to.
Well, if they want their claim construed that narrowly, then it may not, you know, anticipate. But I'm unclear that's what they mean by regular.
It seems to me that what Hillrom is arguing for is a construction where it is being done at regular intervals of time, but there's nothing in the specification to support that reading of periodic. If they wanted to and they clearly knew how to, claim 14 shows you how to claim something in regular time intervals. They knew how to do that.
How do you respond to their prosecution history argument?
I don't understand that argument. First of all, it's not prosecution history. This is what is happening in an ongoing, continuous re-examination. It's not something that happened during the initial prosecution.
Well, it has to do with the claims. If we were looking at the new claims, we would say that is relevant prosecution history with respect to those new claims.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's indicative of their understanding. You know, of their understanding of what periodic means, but it's not prosecution.
But we wouldn't let them get away with disclaiming it in that context and then trying to claim infringement in another context.
I mean, that's exactly right. I don't understand their arguments necessarily. I mean, they chose to use the word periodic in a re-examination where they had every opportunity to amend their claims to say exactly what it is that they wanted the claims to say. Right? And there is a reason why they chose periodic, because it would be so easy for somebody to design around regular intervals. Right? And so there's a reason why they chose periodic over choosing regular intervals. There is no, and beyond that, there is no notice function here. You've got a patent that has 80 columns. And they're asking us to look at four lines in one column out of those 80 columns and to infer from that that what they mean by periodic and what they have always meant from the beginning is regular intervals of time. But there's no way to get there from the claim language itself.
Okay, you're out of time. Thank you.
Your Honor, I think you had a question for me.
Well, I just want to, I'm still confused as to what you want us to construe periodic as, because it seems to me that we're kind of playing a little dance between intermittent and periodic and then inserting the word regular, which isn't in any of this.
Right.
Do you mean like regularly scheduled pre-programmed time intervals, or do you mean an event that periodically reoccurs, although maybe at differing lengths of time?
It's the former. It's the former, where we basically, what you have is a system that on a regular basis, I mean, these modules communicate with one another.
So on a time basis.
Correct.
So if there's another system out there that says, do a self-diagnostic every time somebody gets out of bed, and that may happen at, you know, 1 hour the first time, 10 hours the second time, 2 days the next time, that's periodic, but that wouldn't infringe your definition of periodic here, because you mean regularly occurring time intervals.
Well, I think, Your Honor, just, you know, it's a great question, but I think it's an important question
because you're asking us for what seems to me a very narrow claim construction to save your patent. But I don't think you should be able to turn around and say, to save this, we're talking about time intervals, and then you're going to turn around and infringe it against things that aren't regular time intervals but may be periodic events. Yeah.
I think on that question, if this system institutes a check every time a particular event occurs, I would argue that falls under the definition of periodic, because when a person would get out, there's a signal. I mean, the issue here is having these modules.
How is that different than intermittent if those intervals aren't regular?
How is that different from intermittent?
Isn't the problem here that you're choosing odd words? I mean, it's really the ad hoc or the, you know, random check that you're concerned.
What we say, Your Honor, what we say is this, okay? We say in the prosecution history, okay, that Comer discloses ad hoc. And we say that is not periodic. And so if we extend that and we say from an ad hoc perspective,
what's different between ad hoc and intermittent?
Well, there is a difference.
I mean, your friend says, and this is, I think we all accept, there's no way these beds are going to do one check and never do a check again. They're going to do a check on an intermittent basis.
And by intermittent, what we mean is it happens from time to time, and it is not associated with a recurring event. And so I think I've come back to your question, Your Honor. And I think if this thing automatically kicks in every time someone gets in, you know, gets out of a bed, I think that is periodic. It is. There's an automatic event that triggers it. What we mean by intermittent is that it's haphazard. It's not tied to a single moment in time or a particular event. It's haphazard. It can happen at any time. Because part of the argument we make is that the system that works intermittently won't work because you're going to have these models keep listening for something that isn't there, and they don't know whether it's just what they don't know how to interpret the silence. Presumably, if you have an event, a consistent event that triggers it, the rest of the system knows when to expect it.
Okay, you're out of time. Is there one last thing you want to say about the other claims or? Quickly.
Well, yeah, on claims 31 and 32, claim 31 was rejected solely on the basis of Zaltwanger, because on the premise that an SDO can be a module, and 31 does not claim the verified.
How do you respond to the citation that she gave us, that your friend on the other side gave us from the board's finding where it talks about Zeltwanger in conjunction with Coomer?
Well, Zeltwanger in conjunction with Coomer was for purposes of 32. And okay. So the PTAB did not view Coomer. The only thing that the PTAB relied on Coomer for was the fact that Coomer does a diagnostic check. That was it. And it basically couples up the SDO with the diagnostic check. But that was it. That was the basis, okay. If that helps, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case will be submitted.